Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Friends, Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, we are back. It is time again for another episode of the Fallout Lorecast, and I am your host, Tom or Robots, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Lainey or Neos Pandora, and we are here. We're back. I've been moving my equipment around. I am now back in the office room of the home of my house instead of the bedroom, and we had some technical difficulties. So if you are tuning in live on Twitch, thank you for your patience. I got rid of the crackly poppy sounds. I might sound a little more roomy in my mic. I apologize for that. I need to kind of resituate the room in order to be a little bit less echoey, but we'll get there. I hope this isn't too terrible to listen to. But Lainey, how are you doing? How are things?
Oh, I'm just dandy.
You're a dandy?
Like dandy boy apples.
Like a Yankee Doodle dandy? Like you have macaroni in your cap?
I always have macaroni in my cap.
Good. That's good.
I keep it toasty.
I don't know anybody who keeps macaroni in their cap, but you keep it toasty. Not only do you have macaroni in your cap, but you keep it toasty.
Keep it toasty.
You have like a heater?
My head is the heater.
You have a very warm head. Okay.
It's between my hair and the hat, and then the sun goes on the hat, you know, and it heats it up. It's a black hat. You gotta really think about how you're toasting your macaroons.
Oh, they're macaroons.
No.
I now have way more questions than I started with. But today's episode is not about keeping macaroons or macaroni in your hat. It is about a lovely town, a lovely tourist destination in southern, or actually, technically it's California, but the New Vegas area. And what are we talking about today, Lainey?
Today we're talking about Nipton.
Nipton in the bud.
We're talking about a massacre. How fun.
Yeah.
Just fun, lighthearted things today.
Right. Good stuff. So we're going to go over some details about what happens in Nipton. If you guys know, what happens in Nipton stays in... I don't know. But before we get into the details, I wanted to review some of the real world connections to the location. We've been kind of doing this as we've been going over locations in New Vegas, and I thought this was interesting. So according to Wikipedia, actually, before we get to the real world stuff, let's talk a little bit about the in-game location so we can contrast it. So let's start with that instead. So the town of San Bernardino County, California, which is just below the border of Nevada, right? It's like the border, right? If you actually follow the locations on the map, this is really cool about the game. If you do go a little bit more south from the other locations we talked about, places like Good Springs and the correctional facility that becomes the Powder Gangers prison, if you go a little bit more south, you'll cross the border into California, and Nipton is located right there. And it was originally founded in 1905 as a stop on the San Pedro, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake Railroad. And this is the in-game stuff. Originally called Nipeno Camp, following a nearby discovery of gold, the name was changed to Nipton when the San Pedro, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake Railroads merged with the Union Pacific Railroad around 1910, which coincides with some real-world stuff. In addition to being a cattle loading station for several local ranches, the town and depot also... Actually, we were talking about pronouncing words the way they are spelled. Depot also supplied numerous mines in the area, becoming a social center for the sparse population of the region. It eventually became a tourist destination, offering hikers and travelers a place to restock, park their RVs, and set up their tents. This is pre-Great War. Those willing to test their luck could partake in the California State Lottery. Hold on to that. And potentially win a jackpot worth millions of dollars. Also, let's talk about the real world stuff. So this is pretty cool. It's in the real world. It's an unincorporated community in the Ivanpah Valley in San Bernardino County, California. So same location, basically, with a population of about, get this, 15 to 20. This is a large happening stuff. This is like a few families live here, kind of size of the place. It is located on the northeast border of the Mojave National Preserve, approximately 12 miles south of Prim, another place we get to visit in New Vegas, Nevada, and Ivanpah Solar Power Facility. It is accessible via Nevada State Route 164, also known as Nipton Road. The mining camp, well, this is the real world side of this. The mining camp was established at the crossroads of two wagon trails. I love the idea of these old world places and locations being like, usually it's like a river and a highway or a crossing or a railroad. This is the crossing of two wagon stations. This is how tiny this location actually is and started out originally. The town was founded on February 9th, 1905. So as of today's date, it is over 115 years old. With the coming of the first train on the newly constructed San Pedro, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake Railroad, it was called Nipano Camp. So that part of it is actually real, following the discovery of gold. So, of course, and this is kind of late for the discovery of, well, actually, it doesn't say when the camp was established. So gold was discovered in the 1800s, of course, in California, and then you had the gold rush. The name was changed to Nipton when the San Pedro, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake Railroad was merged with the Union Pacific Railroad around 1910. That part is true as well. And it's a cattle loading station. In September of 2017, real world stuff again, Nipton was purchased by American Green Incorporated for $5 million. Did you know you could buy a town for $5 million? That doesn't seem like very a whole lot of money to buy an entire town, but it's only got what, 15, 20 people there. So with plans to turn the town into, get this, a cannabis tourism destination. So now, next time you play the game, you're gonna see everything going up in smoke, and you're gonna think about some other things that go up in smoke. The CEO of the company hoped to make this into the first pot town USA. American Green Incorporated sold the town in March 2018, like a year later, after failing to attract the capital investment necessary to continue the project. The town was sold to Delta International Oil and Gas for a total of $7.7 million in debt assumption and Delta preferred stock, along with a provision that it continued with the project to transform the 80-acre town on the edge of the Mojave Desert into a cannabis-themed resort. So what happened, right? As of November 16th, 2020, the town was listed for sale again for, get this, $2.75 million. So wonderful investments. This is totally working out for these companies. Hilarious, hilarious. So where is like the real world situation here with the town is kind of interesting, you know, gold rush founding and those kinds of things. And then potential cannabis resort. Lainey, what happened in the game location for Nipton? Was it as, I don't know, peaceful?
Well. So, before the big event that we will get to, it was a nice little place. It was a good a place for a Saturday night, I guess. You could go, you could have some fun times.
What do you mean by fun times? You could go like...
So they had, I mean...
You know, go play pool with your friends and have a drink. You know, go bowling.
I mean, if you want to, you could also take like some sex workers with you. They're, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, if you want drugs, if you want sex, if you want... a fun night out, Nipton. That's the place to go.
Yeah, the mayor was kind of like, let's just buy and sell anything in order to make some money, right?
So Joseph Stein? S-T-E-Y-N.
Stein.
So the mayor of Nipton, good old Joey boy, decided that he wanted to make some good money. And he invited both the Powder Gangers and the NCR. But how would you do that? Wouldn't they literally fight each other? Wouldn't the NCR just arrest the Powder Gangers? Isn't the Powder Gangers, they don't
really get along, right? Like, that's the whole thing, is that we've talked about the Powder Gangers before. And so those two factions showing up in town at the same time, probably not a good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to do something sneaky. So good old Joey boy decides that he is going to invite the Powder Gangers to come in during the day and the NCR to come in during the night. And this is going to work flawlessly. And I guess it does, because it is very lucrative for him until.
Well, okay. So hold on. So this basically becomes a trade center for these groups, a place where they can trade to the town things. And then the other group can also trade to the town things, so they can get things potentially from each other without knowing that they're actually trading with each other indirectly. So if you think about what that means that Powder Gangers could then theoretically get a hold of NCR equipment or supplies that were traded to the town. The NCR could get a hold of things like dynamite and that kind of stuff if the Powder Gangers were trading it. It's kind of interesting to think that, like, this is a potential connection point for the various things, and the two groups then in some ways helping and supporting each other without even meaning to.
Yeah, it's super weird. And it feels so risky for the mayor to have been like, I'm going to invite these guys over. But if it worked out, you know, it made some sense. It made some sense, if you know what I mean.
It made some dollars and cents. I smell what you're cooking. No. I hear what you're ringing with your cash register. No.
Ring.
All right. So what happens? So what happens next?
So you guys know about Caesar's Legion. We haven't really talked about them yet on here.
I did a little bit of stuff way back about a year and a half ago about Caesar's Legion, but we haven't discussed them for the New Vegas stuff, which I'm sure we're gonna have to. There's a lot more than what I originally talked about, so yeah, we'll dig more into them for sure.
But essentially, they are a dictatorship, a totalitarian dictatorship that really believes in things like slavery, just wiping out anything that does not abide by your standards, your rules, into that.
And they all call him Kaiser too, so it's they pronounce it every time I read it I say Caesar's Legion, but right.
And obviously it is very much inspired by ancient Rome, Julius Caesar himself, and it's a fun idea if you like things like slaves and utilitarian principles.
Right.
But if you don't, then that's not so fun. Anyway, they have this this group of spies. They call them Fermentary somethings. Anyway, the best one, the highest ranking,
the Fermentary somethings. Fermentarians, which is a really interesting word. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So the highest ranking of these people, the highest ranking Fermentarius, that's a single one, is Vulpes Inculta, and he is the best spy in the Legion. Mm-hmm. And he had an eye out for Nipton because he didn't like the way that the mayor was, you know, running the town. He didn't like how he was bringing in the Powder Gangers and the NCR. He didn't like all the things that they were selling, you know, not a big fan. So he devised a plan to just mess it all up, just flip the town totally upside down. But of course, he didn't start there. He had to ease into it. You got to convince the mayor first. So he goes to the mayor and he tells good old Joey boy he wants to bring everyone together. And of course, that sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. But remember what Joey boy likes? That good money.
Good cheddar.
And so Vulpes Inculta gives him 8,000 caps. And because...
Wait, pause. So can you imagine trying to carry 8,000 caps?
There's a lot of caps. You're like a sack.
You're like a Santa bag on your back. Like, how do you transport that? That's hilarious. How much does that actually weigh? It probably weighs a good number of pounds. I mean, caps aren't that heavy, but that many of them.
How much does a
bottle cap weigh? While you look that up, I want to dig into the name Frumentari, the Frumentarius. Mm-hmm. Frumentari was actually the official in Rome that was the one who collected wheat and also acted as secret service in the second and third centuries. So this title actually makes sense for the kind of the role of this person. They were also known as Vulpes, V-U-L-P-E-S. And if you know any Latin names of animals, that might be familiar. That's actually a canid genus and a word that means fox. So there's some connection there as well with, like, this is a foxy person who works undercover for the government, also make sure that, you know, taxes of wheat are collected, those kinds of things. So you can see why this person might be interested in making sure that things work correctly or the way they want with Nipton in order to get what they want out of the town. So kind of an interesting concept there.
So it turns out 8,000 caps is about 40 pounds.
Yeah, I figured it would be a solid. I mean, it's not super heavy, but
you have to box the caps.
Yeah, that's pretty. All right. Good weight there.
Yeah, anyway, he promises him 8,000 caps, which of course he agreed to. And the mayor decided that he was going to abandon the town. He was going to leave whatever was going to happen. He had 8,000 caps. He was going to start fresh somewhere else. And that's all fine and dandy, except for, what the heck, mayor? You sabotaged your whole town. And so when everyone got there, they were all corralled to the center of the town, where if you approach the town in the game, you will see them. And everyone was given lottery tickets. These lottery tickets were for the big ranch, Nevada State Lotto. And this is really interesting because Nevada has a ban on state-run lotteries. And so this could not exist in the real world.
But California doesn't.
Right. And so what's interesting about Nipton is that because it's like right on the border between Nevada and California, it has a great turnout for lottery tickets. It's like the place to go for your lottery tickets.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because if you're in Vegas and you want to be gambling, but you can't do a lottery because they would rather have your money show up at the casino than just drive over the border and gamble with your lottery tickets in California. It's kind of like some of the southern states, I know for sure. Like, for example, I don't know, like when I was a kid growing up, Georgia had bigger fireworks. They had like less restrictions on fireworks than Florida did. So I knew people who would pick up fireworks in Georgia and then come down to Florida in order to be able to shoot off fireworks that otherwise they couldn't get here, which doesn't seem very legal, but I guess.
Or safe,
but their parents let them do it. So I don't know. But yeah, it's that kind of thing. Cross the border, you can do other stuff where you can't do it here. So what happens with the lottery? Or is there anything else to cover with that?
Oh, I mean, so much happens with the lottery. But that's like, that's the main enchilada. I'm just going to keep butchering sayings every episode.
That's the main enchilada. Hey, you're my main enchilada. All right. Well, now, tell you what, why don't we go to the middle of the show and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what exactly this lottery was. And did people win lots of caps or something else? I have a feeling you guys know, but we'll get into a little bit more details. All right. We'll be right back.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
This is the middle of the show. Welcome, everybody, to the middle of the show. This is the part where I get to thank you guys for helping to support the show. Every single one of you, everyone from our highest tier patron, Liberty Pie Man. Thank you for supporting the show. You are amazing. To our tier 5 patrons and all the rest of our patrons, all the way down to the people who just, you know, love the show and tell their friends. So thank you. Thank you to all of you guys. You guys are amazing. Let's call out our tier five patrons as well. We have Robob. Actually, we only have Robob. Robob's our only tier five patron right now. And then we've got Pyman, who is our Liberty Prime. Amazing, guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everyone for being here. If you are interested in helping to support the show, please go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and check out the different tiers. And you can sign up and get ad-free episodes, episodes early, all sorts of stuff. There's discounts on the store where you can buy crazy shirts that we make and, you know, all sorts of stuff. I'm just going to, you know, stumble over my words like Lainey does. And if you want to help support the show in other ways, a wonderful way you could do that is if you decide to watch us on Twitch and you happen to have an Amazon Prime account, that means that you get a free subscription every month that you get to choose to send to a Twitch streamer. So you could send us your Amazon Prime. You could do it to the Robots Radio Twitch channel. You could do it to the Neos Pandora Twitch channel, however you want. That also helps support. And there's you know, there's tons of things you can do to help us out, and we would really, really appreciate it. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys and your support and your love, and thank you so, so very much.
Are you into the cyberpunk tabletop games or excited for Cyberpunk 2077? Are you looking to brush up on the lore, stay up on all the latest news, and talk about the game when it comes out? Check out the Cyberpunk Lorecast, a show from Robots Radio with me, your host, Robots. We'll go over all the details you need to know about the world, characters, and story of Cyberpunk. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so they put together a lottery. And they're like, hey, come on over. We're giving away $1 million, right?
Million smackers.
Give away some cheddar. Is that what happened?
I wish that's what happened. Unfortunately, no. So they gave out these lottery tickets and they had a lottery. And they essentially called out random people for terrible, terrible things. And we'll get into what those things are. But first, let's talk about what this lottery was like, what this lottery emulated. We already mentioned that the Legion is emulating ancient Roman army stuff.
Traditions, like traditions and themes and those kinds of things. Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Those are the words. Like, where is a thesaurus when I need it? So they did something that was very similar to the decimation, the ancient Roman decimation, where when certain soldiers would act up or disobey orders or just mess up really badly, they would take them and they would put them all together and they'd essentially hold a lottery where one out of every 10 was selected randomly to be brutally murdered by the rest of the group.
Wonderful. And this was called decimation. And so the next time you hear somebody say like, oh, that army got decimated, that means only 1/10 of them were destroyed. People use the word decimate. Yeah, by each other. People, and it was used in terms of like by the enemy army and things like that, too. In this lottery system is actually each other. But yeah, people use the word decimation to mean like, oh, it was completely wiped out or something. It really only means 1/10. Which is a substantial amount of loss. And this is another thing a lot of people don't realize is that in some of these old conflicts, having a 10th of your group killed was actually a significant amount, because oftentimes enemies would disengage before they were able to completely rout the other army. So you would pull back, and it was usually the morale of your troops that would end the combat, not necessarily the fact that everyone was dying. So things were a little bit different in combat back in those days. But yeah, so they set everybody up for this lottery. 1 in 10 people were selected, and then everybody in the group would murder or kill the one person. And that was their lottery system. Now, what they're doing here isn't exactly a decimation lottery. It's a little bit different, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'll get into that. But I want to mention Polybius, an ancient Roman writer, who basically this guy, what he did at the time was he would write like stories about what was happening at the time. You gotta keep track of what ancient Rome was up to, you know. So if you read anything that Polybius has written, it is all about the happenings of the time. It's like getting the news. It's like the ancient Roman news. Mm-hmm. But he described the decimation, this practice, as just terrifying, specifically because the danger and dread of drawing the fatal lot affects all equally, as it is uncertain on whom it will fall. And it's true. And this is already terrifying in the ancient Roman sense, but the way that they emulate this in New Vegas is even more terrifying. Mm-hmm. So what the Legion did is they drew these random lottery tickets, and amongst the people that were there, it was not only the NCR and the Powder Gangers, but the people of the town as well, the people of Nipton, including the mayor, who did not escape. He ended up stuck as well. And since anyone was could possibly be drawn, it was just as likely that you would lose an influential member of the group, or someone that meant a lot to you, you know, family, yeah, friends.
Yeah. A favorite. Like if there's like the really nice guy who's like everybody's friend and is always there for everyone, well, that person could get drawn and killed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the complete douchebag that everyone doesn't like. Like it could be any of them. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You could lose your grandma. You could lose
grandma.
The bully down the road.
Oh.
Grandma. Aww. Yeah.
What did grandma do?
But it's so true, because you could kill anybody and you don't know who's going to go. It is terrifying because you have no idea how it will impact the community, especially in the long run. And in this case, they wanted to destroy these communities. They were fed up with the way they were running their business, mm-hmm, and just wanted to destroy them. And they did. So what they did when they drew these tickets is anyone who had a ticket that was drawn would get either decapitated, crucified, or enslaved, which is just fun.
None of those seem like fun options. Those all sound bad. Decapitation is probably the best. Maybe. I don't like, we could debate this. Like, decapitation is like a quick death, right?
Oh, sure.
It's boom, you're dead. Crucifixion,
kind of.
It depends on how well they cut through your head, right? Yeah. And if they torture you before that and all that. Crucifixion is basically death by environmental torture. Because you're strung up, whether you are impaled onto a cross, which was most likely a T-shape. Historically, it was not like a cross like we think of in religious contexts. They got that wrong. There was a head thing sometimes above it, which created the top of the T, but it was actually more like a capital T. And oftentimes people were just like strapped, like bound with a rope or something. And there was a platform for their feet, but in some cases there wasn't. So the weight of your body would pull yourself up. So you'd constantly do this. And imagine holding your arms up, just hold your arms up for like, 5 minutes. Eventually the blood starts to drain out of it. They start to go numb, right? So your body would go numb. You'd be out in the weather, in the environment. You'd be starving. You would be dehydrating in the sun. Like, have you ever gone a day without drinking water? Like, it feels terrible. But in the midst of this, you would be out there. Eventually parts of your body may start to rot as you start to die. So birds might pick at your skin. Like there's all sorts of terrible things that happen just from environmental exposure, not to mention if you were actually wounded as well while being crucified. And if you were pretty hardy, you could go 3 or 4 days before you die of not having enough water. So, or longer potentially, like if they're giving you something to drink, which of course you're going to want because you're thirsty, it would make the torture last longer because they're not feeding you, but they might give you some water from like a sponge on a stick or something. And then you would survive even longer. So can you imagine, you could be there for like a week, 2 weeks before you die. It's such a horrible, horrible death. And then there's enslavement.
You can't take people down either.
You can't take people down?
When people are crucified and they're up, especially if they're like impaled on something, mm-hmm, well, definitely if they're impaled on something, if you pull it out, they will just bleed out. But for people who've been there, especially for a couple of days hanging, your body is just, you just become so broken, you know? You're constantly weighing yourself down. You have all the environmental effects. You have anything else that might have been done before or while you're, up there.
Right.
And if you let them down, they will feel all of that, right? The only thing kind of holding them together is the fact that they're staying still. Yeah. And that they're just stuck there.
All of a sudden, the blood rushes through the rest of your body again. And and then all of a sudden, all the pain, and you're no longer numb. It's no good. But enslavement's not great either. You know, enslavement usually means torture and all sorts of other terrible things. So, okay. So what happens after this?
Well, what happens after this is they went through all those people, right? They decapitated the ones that they were going to decapitate. Also, did you know if you get decapitated, you can still, like, you're still alive in your noggin, just your noggin, because obviously...
For a few seconds they did a test. The French the French toward the end of their decapitation times, historically, there was a doctor who talked with a potential prisoner who was going to be decapitated and said, mm-hmm. after you're decapitated, blink, and like blink as many times as you can until you can't blink anymore. And it was a number of seconds afterwards that he was able to blink. There's still something going on in there until eventually, you know, your blood drains out enough that you can't see anything anymore. So that sounds fun too.
Good times.
They're
all terrible. So yeah, after they decapitated, crucified, and enslaved whoever they intended to, they didn't stop there. The next person they drew was the mayor, right? So they drew a bunch of people, they did all their stuff, and then they decided to call out the mayor. And instead of decapitating him or crucifying him or enslaving him, he had a very special death where they burned him alive on a pile of tires.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good too. What a way to go. Yeah.
Sounds awful. Can you imagine, like, the burning rubber?
Yeah, no. No, thank you. No. Funny other side note is that this town, the actual town of Nipton, has some sort of connection to Burning Man Festival, where it's a place where they, I don't know, sell things or help support the festival or whatever. So that's funny. Burning Man. I wonder if that was influence. So there's all sorts of interesting influences here. There's the lottery, Volpez in Colta's title and name. There's all sorts of stuff. So keep going. Yeah.
So of course they burn him alive on the pile of tires because Vulcan and Colta really believed
Volpez, not Vulcan.
Vulcan. Oh no.
He's not from Star Trek.
Dude, I wrote that in the notes too.
I think it's probably an auto fix.
Yeah. My brain was like, yes, this is correct.
Vulcan. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Confirmation. Okay. Fallout is in the Star Trek universe.
Alrighty. So because he believed that the mayor was the cause of everything that was wrong with Nipton, he deserved this death, and it was big final death for this batch. But deaths didn't end there.
Mm.
He also decided that because the people who watched other people die didn't get upset enough, that they were all selfish. He thought that they were more scared for themselves than they were for other people, and therefore they deserved to die too.
But isn't that a natural reaction? You see somebody murdering everybody, and you feel bad for the people who are getting murdered, but then that's just human nature. That's just like, if you are a living creature on the planet, your first reaction will be for sustaining your own existence most of the time. And then sometimes as human beings, we sacrifice ourselves for other people because we have some sort of greater purpose, or we love them, or you know, something more than ourselves at stake. But in this kind of situation, there's nothing more at stake. It's just everyone's dying. So you would be like, oh God, I hope I don't die.
Right. You can't really fight back.
Right.
What are you supposed to do? So anyway, he believed that though. And after the initial killings, decided to do another drawing where they drew multiple people for these. Well, at least for third place. They drew a first, second, and third place lottery ticket winners. Mm-hmm. And they had multiple winners for third. I think just one for second and one for first, but I could be wrong. So the third place winners were all in sleep.
Yeah, one, there was one for first, for sure.
Yeah.
And I know one for second as well, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of the third place winners were enslaved.
Oh, this is the part of the show where Lainey disconnects momentarily and then reconnects. So stay tuned. She'll be right back. Oh, she's back. Look at that.
Okay. Place, enslaved. Second place, they had their legs crippled. Great.
Still no good. Love it. But way better than some of the other things.
Guy. Yeah. Second place is just one dude, yep. And he survives, yep. Obviously, and you can go talk to him later. I'm remembering now.
Yeah.
And then first place was spared and freed. How exciting. Hey.
So it's kind of a reverse decimation in that, like, everyone gets killed except for the poor cripple guy and then or enslaved. And then the one guy gets freed and, you know, no harm done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That makes it all worth it.
Yeah. But then that was it, right? That was it. They just that was the last thing they did. Nothing else.
Well, then they had to tidy up, obviously. So they burnt the whole town down.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, they really burned it down. You could see the black smoke for miles, to the extent that there's a NCR like watchtower or something a ways away, and they notice the smoke there, and if you go and talk to them, they'll like ask you what is going on, you know? Like, why is a whole town in flames? A town where they know probably that they have people there, they were invited there, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, pretty terrible stuff. So when you're playing the game and you come up on the town, you'll come across the lottery tickets on the ground. You'll come across the free guy who kind of tells you what's going on. This event is kind of connected to everything else. It's also, I believe, meant to be your first instance of meeting the Legion and getting a sense of what they're about. And it really colors your expectations. So when people say like, oh, I sided with Kaiser's Legion, I'm just like, really? Yeah. This is the kind of stuff they do. And that was my first experience with them, too, was like what happens at Nipton.
Yeah, same. And actually, we didn't talk about what it's like to actually go there. So by the time that you get there, right, all of this has already been done. You run into the first place winner while you're going in, and he basically is like, hey, get out of here. Like, he's excited. He's like, oh, I survived. Like, he's celebrating, but he's running away.
Right.
And you get there, and obviously, you know, it's all on fire. It's all burning. And you walk up, and the Legion is still there. And there are two rows of all the people crucified, and they're still alive. And you can choose if you interact with them or not. You obviously can't take them down, but you can mercy kill them. Which is honestly, in my opinion, what you, like, if you're going to interact with them, what you should do.
Yeah, because it seems like the merciful thing would be to put them out of their misery.
Otherwise, they're just going to stay there. You can't take them down.
Right. But what's interesting is that it doesn't give you a karma. You don't get a positive or negative effect on your karma either way, no matter what you decide with that, which is interesting. So there's some other notes here. These come from the fandom site about some other little quirks and things with this section of the game. So it turns out that you can actually take them down by using the Ranger takedown ability, which you can unlock in certain parts of the game. It's like a rush forward and like knock somebody over kind of ability. And what it does is it actually knocks them off the crucifixes and they land on the ground and then they get up and all they say is, I have to get going. And they leave, which is hilarious. They just walk away like they're fine. Which is funny. When you're in the town, some companions will comment on the crucified townsfolk. So Cass will say something like, should we cut the people down? There's a Mr. Gutsy robot in one of the buildings, and that Mr. Gutsy will respawn every 3 hours. If you don't want to really use one of that house as a storage place, because you'll just have to constantly deal with Mr. Gutsy respawning. This is interesting. The background music, we're talking on the Discord about this a little bit. Some of the music in the games and things based on the previous episode we did. And the background music in the town is City of the Dead, which comes from Fallout 1. It was the music used when you visit Necropolis. It also was used in Navarro and Vault 15 in Fallout 2. So this was a track that gets reused. And like we mentioned before, some of the music from Fallout 1 is super like ominous and environmentally like stressful. So check that out if you want to look it up. City of the Dead was the name of that. There's a bark scorpion, which may randomly spawn upon returning via fast travel. So if you fast travel back to Nipton and leave the crucified people up on their posts, if they're alive, it may approach each of them and sting them by attacking the post. And then the powder gangers who are being crucified will fall to the ground. So the scorpion will go just attack each of them. Legion mongrels may respond if you revisit after the events, but then they'll be friendly. So they'll be good, good boys. And you can be friends with the little Legion mongrels. The courier can walk through the flames of the town without being taking damage, which I feel like I noticed at some point and just didn't think about it anymore, but that's kind of weird. In spite of Volpe's insultas, I don't know how to pronounce this, claim that the townsfolk were passive and cowardly, there are signs in one of the houses and in the trailer park area that at least some of the citizens fought back and killed several legionnaires. Such examples consist of one deceased citizen who wielded a laser rifle with an ash pile in front of him bearing the remains of a legionary recruit. So if you look around the town, there's some of these buildings and trailers and things, and you can see the remains of different groups and people. Some NCR in one of them as well. Even though, and this is the last one, even though both of Boxcar's legs are crippled from the lottery, he will stand up and engage in combat if attacked, but has a limp. So I guess they're not completely broken. They're just beat up. I don't know, man. I love these games are so complex, and that's one of the wonderful things about them is the complexity. But of course it leads to these weird kinds of things that can happen when stuff crosses in ways that the developers didn't necessarily intend.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So some really cool stuff. And what I love about this is that, like, initially when I thought about, okay, what are we going to do this week? And I was thinking through playing through the game. I was like, okay, the town of Nipton comes up pretty soon after some of the events that we talked about already. That would be interesting. But is there really a whole lot here? Because for the most part, you come across a town that's burning and there's crucifixions happening and there was a lottery and the Legion basically did stuff. And, you know, there were things going on with the town beforehand. But I was like, this isn't a very big topic. I also don't think it'll be a very popular topic. I hope there's enough there. But Lainey and I did research on this and there's a lot of stuff here. There's like, and that's what's so wonderful about this game and a lot of the games in the series is that underneath each of these settings, there's so much there, even just the location, a little bit about the characters, a little bit about the things that can happen while you play through the game. There's a lot of content there and it's actually really interesting. A lot of these connections to real world things, a lot of inspiration. You can tell that the developers, when they were thinking about where to go, went on a map and they were like, okay, what if we add Nipton in? What's going on at Nipton? And they were like, okay, there's these things. And those things influenced the way that they were telling a story. And they're like, well, what if the Legion showed up here and had a lottery because the people go to the town for a lottery? What if the person who's in charge of what happens at that location is, his name is Volpez because that's another name for his title, for the title of the kind of legionary that would be doing these things. Like you see all these connections come through and it's so cool when you put them all together and you realize that like there's a lot of thought that goes into the design of this game. So I know that shouldn't be a surprise, but there's something satisfying about even a little place like this that really doesn't have a huge bearing on the rest of the game still has that level of depth to it.
The next time someone asks me about New Vegas or if I've played it, which happens a lot unrelated to this podcast, actually, especially now that I work at a game store, I'm going to tell them that my favorite character is Vulcan and Colta.
Vulcan and Colta.
Just gonna, oh, man.
They'll be like, who? What?
Like, what?
Oh man, that's funny. That's funny. I wonder if you can hear this if I play it. This is the quote at the I can't play City of the Dead. I don't know that I'll have the rights to do that, but I can play the quote here from Volpez in Colta. Nope, you guys can't hear that. Why can't you hear that? Hold on, let me look. I'm gonna set this up real quick. Ah, that's why. Okay, hold on 1 second. I got this. Here, let's try it now.
Based and corrupt.
Go back. Oh, poop. Let me refresh the page. Here we go.
Nipton was a wicked place, debased and corrupt. It served all comers, so long as they paid. Profligate troops, powder gangers, men of the Legion, such as myself. The people here didn't care. It was a town of whores. For a pittance, the town agreed to lead those it had sheltered into a trap. Only when I sprang it did they realize they were caught inside it, too.
So, yeah.
I didn't hear it at all.
You couldn't hear it at all? Really?
No.
Oh, you know what? It's because the game sound isn't going through to you, but it's going through to the stream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you can hear that.
Secrets. Yeah. Now secrets. You won't know it. It's just one of the lines from.
I'll never know it.
From Volpez and Colta. Yeah. Interesting. It is an interesting character. I'm wondering who the voice actor is, but I don't see it in the wiki. I wish it would list that. Oh well, that's it. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being here. I think that's it for this episode. Lainey, what else do you have going on? Anything you wanna shout out? Work's going good.
Work's going good.
Selling all those video games.
I am. Yesterday, what did I sell? I sold someone Zumba for the Wii.
I remember very when that fun. Came out, and that was like a
oh my god,
that was very popular.
All right, let me tell you guys a thing. So, because of the pandemic, right, lots of people went out and bought Wiis, like original Wiis, right? Not Wii U's.
Okay.
Not Switches. Wiis. And they got Wii Sports. So, Wii Sports isn't high, or not Wii Sports, Wii Fit, or Wii Sports.
Wii Fit to work out, or Wii Sports because they like playing Wii Sports?
One of the two. I can't remember which one. You guys do some research on this also. Because one of those games is now selling for like $50 a piece.
Back at like full because price.
The demand is like insane right now. So if you have a Wii and you're not playing your Wii games anymore, it might be worth looking into, you know, seeing if you can
eBay get a little
cash out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, heck, you could eBay that and then buy another full game.
Yeah.
Like a new one. That's
yeah. It's not a bad deal. Definitely worth looking at. Like we have come far enough away from the Wii at this point from when it originally released that like those games are now becoming older. Mm-hmm. So some of them are going to be valuable. It's worth kind of going through what you have and seeing, you know, what you got going on there. And then of course, some of them are going to be worth absolutely nothing. So it yeah, just depends.
Totally. Yeah. No demand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, cool. That's man. Who knew?
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense because it's hard to get some of the new consoles. So why not? Why not go back to that other stuff? Like, makes sense. Anything else going on?
Not much. I was going to stream after this, but I have not been feeling good today.
Oh, yeah. So, bummer. Yeah. Bummer, dude.
It actually is a big bummer. I was like ready. I was oof.
You were oof. Ready. You were oofing ready.
I was oofing.
Oofing ready. Let's see. What do I have going on? I've like I mentioned at the beginning, I moved down back into the office. I need to. You probably can hear the dogs barking. I need to reset up the office and actually like, you know, make it work again for recording. I think it's okay enough, but I want to make some improvements. I also moved all the desks around and everything, so everything looks a little bit different. But yeah. Whoa. Did you hit your?
I punched it.
Yeah, I do that too sometimes. But yeah, that's what I got going on. The Robots Radio Rocket Club is doing awesome. We got all sorts of Fallout shows on there, so go check them out. There's a whole list of them in the Discord, and I've been doing the Robots Radio show during the day at noon. I missed the last few days because of, you know, moving stuff around and kind of working on my setup, but that's, you know, the show where we do some news stuff and we talk about, you know, the hottest takes on all the news in the middle of the day. And then we hang out and talk with some of the other hosts from the show. I have a feeling that show is going to continue to evolve. I want to be able to do it regularly, and I may make it like a, not necessarily noon thing, but I might push it back to maybe 2 or 3 and then do that. And then go right from that into playing games afterwards, because I play games with, Kirby Chew, your little brother. at around around this time. It's like 3:15 right now. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll keep evolving it. We'll figure it out. But that's what I got going on. And I think what I'll do after this stream, so don't go anywhere, chat, is I'll play some games with Kirby Chew, and we'll do some other streaming. Oh, and other big news, the Fallout community stream team was announced, and I am one of 40 members of the Fallout community stream team, which is super cool. If you want to, you can see it underneath the player right now. You can see that is the team that I'm currently connected with, and you can click that and you can check out all the different people on the Fallout community stream team. Like, there's a bunch of them already streaming right now, which is super cool. So go check that out. This is going to be exciting because we're going to be doing like giveaways and events together and all sorts of fun things. So definitely come back and join me for some Fallout streams and things like that. And I think that's it for today's episode. Thanks everybody for being here. Stay tuned. I will be back in a little bit. I'm going to go away, and I'll be back in just a few minutes to play some games with you guys. Lainey, have a wonderful day. Chat, thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you for listening, and especially thank you to our patrons. You guys are amazing. All right, let's finish up the show. You guys have a safe week. We'll talk to you later. Bye. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.